Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today I have a most unusual guest. One of the great privileges of working as a radio host is I get the opportunity to select the guests and the subjects that I have the pleasure of sharing with you, the listener. When I read about today's guest and his story, I was completely impressed with the courage and the amazing determination and fortitude that this young man had to change his circumstances. And my guest today is George Kurnil, who had, to those on the outside looking in, an enviable life. He was living the dream, working in marketing and promotion for a very large record company, rubbing elbows with movie stars, politicians, music celebrities, and experiencing the lifestyles of the rich and famous. His world was one of glamour, pleasure, fabulous gay people, and lots of sex. However, his red carpet life on the Sunset Strip was nothing it appeared to be, as it appeared to those on the outside. He wrote a book about his journey through a queer culture fantasy land that was filled with drag queens, drugs, and dangerous life situations that were daily occurrences before he discovered what he calls the healing joy and peace through his spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. His book, From Queer to Christ, chronicles his journey and his evolving faith walk away from the world of sex and addiction towards a life of peace, grace, and spiritual fulfillment. George, I am deeply and sincerely grateful that you've come on the show today to share your extraordinary story, extraordinary, courageous journey in a real transformation. Most of us don't get to have those kinds of life transformations. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're... Believe me, the pleasure is all ours. George, why don't you start us out by telling us about you, where you come from, you know, what your thoughts were as a young man, how you found yourself out in Hollywood, and basically the lifestyle that you described as, you know, causing you a great deal of pain and a great deal of suffering, and that led you to another path. So can you take us on that journey?
Yes. My father's a Southern Baptist minister, so I grew up in the South in the Bible Belt. And when I started school in the 70s, homosexuality wasn't something that I had heard of, and it really wasn't discussed in the media like it was today. So I never understood why, in even first grade, why I was attracted to a girl, but yet also attracted to a little boy who was in my class. And as I went through elementary school and on through junior high and high school, the feelings toward guys became much stronger. But unfortunately, I dealt with a lot of bullying from my male peers, calling me sissy and faggot, queer, homo, and being physically assaulted, and one guy threatening to slit my throat. So it was a very difficult time. But being raised in the church, the added pain was inevitably you would hear stories about Sodom and Gomorrah and about homosexuals and how God destroyed these two cities. And it really caused me a lot of pain and grief because I didn't understand when guys were calling me these names, I didn't even understand what they meant. And when I did figure out what they meant, I couldn't understand how are they able to identify me as something that I'm now trying to come to terms with that happens to be true. So it was very confusing. And then listening to such sermons on Sodom and Gomorrah and how Christians and even people in society would really just talk harshly about homosexuals, there was a lot of anger that I had because I didn't understand why am I being condemned for something I hadn't done and being condemned for something that I didn't even ask for. And this made it very confusing for me. And I really grew up with, I started to get really angry. And I started to just hate Christians, and I hated God, and of course, I hated the way I was treated in school. It was just a very painful time. Mm-hmm. So when my father, who has moved a lot because of his ministry, we ended up moving to Florida after I graduated, and I had had an experience with a guy similar to my age after I graduated from high school before we moved. So it was pretty much set in stone that this feels good and it feels right and this must be who I am. So when we moved to Florida and I went into a gay bar for the first time, I want listeners to know it was the first time that I had encountered a group of people, of men, who weren't mistreating me, and they were giving me positive affirmations and attention that I craved so badly. So I quickly became addicted to that life. Unfortunately, you don't have a lot of... Unfortunately, there are pitfalls in that life, from drugs to pornography and drinking. And so, and a lot of people have baggage, and I'm not downing anyone because we all struggle with something. But I quickly got into that life as well because I so desperately wanted to fit in, and that just comes with the package. But what happened was my desperation in wanting to have affection from men quickly became a sex addiction, because I wanted to sleep with as many men as I could, because there was a void that I couldn't understand at that time that I was looking for it to be filled. And so after 3 years in that life, I had really started to get more into the debauchery, the more depraved scenes, just trying new things because I was finding that nothing was working. And I ended up becoming a hustler, which is a male prostitute. I did that for a while and was battling drugs and alcohol. And I eventually, after struggling with depression, my father called me out of the blue, and he had moved to Kentucky with the family. And I was actually contemplating suicide, and he said it was time to come home. Well, I ended up in Kentucky for a little bit and then eventually moved to Tennessee, where I worked for in downtown Nashville. At that point, I was really struggling with so much turmoil about being Christian and gay that through this, I rededicated my life to Christ, thinking that I could wash away the gay. And although it was a short-lived temporary moment of pleasure, I was still wrestling with this, and I eventually attempted suicide. By the grace of God, I met a guy at the office who had been struggling with this as well, and he was also Christian, and we really formed a great bond and a great relationship and just got to know each other. And he eventually wanted to move to Los Angeles because he wanted to be an actor, and he was a great, phenomenal singer as well. So we talked about going together, and eventually we became boyfriends. But that's what led me to Los Angeles. And then 7 years into our relationship, I really struggled with the relationship so much because I had so much guilt over it. And I still had this hunger for God. But I just thought, well, God hates homosexuals because that's what has been ingrained in our minds, that God hates us, we're perverts, he has created AIDS to kill us, and we're all going to die and go to hell. So I really didn't have a lot of hope at that point, and I was struggling with more despair. I eventually broke up with him because he needed someone who could love him the way he needed to be loved. And it really set me on this journey to where I started to just question a lot of things. And I was finding that the drugs and being promiscuous and alcohol was not fulfilling these desires. And so in my desire to try to find God, I wanted to avoid the Christians because I hated them, but wasn't even sure God wanted a relationship with me, but I was still hungry for him. So I then tried to move more into the Hinduism and occult and New Age teachings because I was hoping to extract something from these teachings that could help me form my own brand of spirituality. And I was hoping to supernaturally, in my own thinking, try to find a way to get to God.
I'm sorry, just to clarify for the listener, because this is a remarkable story. Here you are. You were going through all of this. You know, let's face it, the average person on the street does not experience this lifestyle that you experienced, okay? So here you are in this lifestyle, and you're living it, and you're in pain. You're in emotional agony, feeling torn between your hunger and your longing to have a spiritual connection, a deep connection with God, and to feel loved and belonging through your relationship with God. And so you're like being torn in two different directions. On one hand, you're attracted to this lifestyle. On the other hand, it's killing you. I just want to clarify that for the listener, because you know, a lot of times we hear these, you know, there are people who might hear your story and go, oh my God, how fabulous. You know, it's like, oh wow, you know, I'd kill for that. What are you kidding me? You were in pain. You were in agony. But you were having some real struggle of a soul struggle, a consciousness struggle. You want to just describe that before you go on? Like, what was it like for you? Would you come home and be despondent, depressed? Oh, what was working inside of you when all this was going on?
I appreciate you asking that. It's always hard doing interviews because you want to be mindful of the listener's time, and I never know how much to say. But it's a very good question. Even having a taste of this, being around celebrities or working in the entertainment business and all this stuff that people strive for in life, sure, there is a season of fun, and it would be great in that moment, but I still had to come home and face my own demons, look at myself in the mirror. And the internal struggle that was going on with me was I wanted so badly to find a man to settle down with and to have something that was stable and secure. We all, as we get older, have these insecurities. Who's going to take care of us? And I'm like anybody else. I'm a human being first. But I knew I loved God enough and wanted to please him, and I hungered for him so much. So there was this constant turmoil because my desire to love and to be loved was as strong as it was to have a relationship with God. And so I lived in these two conflicting worlds all the time. And so when I'm in the gay community, and especially most of it in the Los Angeles clubs and in the circles I ran in, I didn't see a lot of healthy relationships where guys stayed together unless they had an open relationship. There was a lot of promiscuity. And this really would depress me because I thought, is it impossible for gay men to even have a long-term relationship and it be monogamous and they be committed to each other? And I'm certainly not knocking that community because, as you know, it goes on in the heterosexual community. People sleep
absolutely
around.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I knew many women and men who were sleeping around on their partners. So I had really become cynical about love. But I also knew that on a deep spiritual level, there was something in me that hungered for more. And so while I'm trying to make this work in terms of finding love and just having my heart broken all the time, I also was trying to find God in areas in which I was not going to find him because I was still disillusioned with the other religions that I had looked into, just trying to find answers. And so I just stayed suicidal and depressed all the time. I mean, I would sometimes cry all the way to work, and I'd put on a happy face from 8 to 4 or 9 to 5 and leave and cry all the way home. And I thought about suicide as much as I thought about changing my clothes or what am I going to eat. So it was a real battle. And just everything that I thought was going to bring me some peace and joy, it wouldn't. And then so it's like with pornography. When someone looks at the vanilla side of pornography for a while, you start to see, well, this is kind of boring now. What else is there? And you find eventually you get more into the kinkier and raunchier side of things. So it's like with sex or alcohol, you know, or even drugs. You may start out smoking the occasional just marijuana, but you find, well, it's not doing anything for me. It's not filling that void. At least it wasn't for me. So I moved into the cocaine and then just other various forms of drugs and shooting up and whatever I needed to do to just try to find something that would bring me joy, but also part of that was medicating to get out of my head. So if I did the drugs or the drinking or I was having sex with a man, it was a temporary moment of being out of my head. So I was damned if I do and damned if I didn't, because that still was causing me a lot of problems, but it still didn't bring me the peace I was looking for.
So you were really experiencing the dark night of the soul. I mean, you were, on one hand, it's, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of many people who struggle with food, George. I mean, it's a very different, subject matter, but there are people who are tortured. All they think about is food. All they dream about is food. And they're tortured between eating and the pleasure of eating and then how they feel after they've gorged themselves. There's this, it seems innate feeling of dysfunction or shame or dissatisfaction when we're out of balance with moderation or with what we feel is appropriate and what we feel is life affirming in our lives. So you're in this world that became darker and darker and darker, as you shared with me on the, you know, on the pre-interview. And then God revealed himself to you one night, right? Isn't that what happened? You want to tell us about, bring us right up to that moment, you know, to the despair and the suffering and how it brought you right up to that moment that God revealed himself to you.
Well, may I say first to a listener who's listening to this, you may not be going through the same thing that I'm going through. Whatever our struggle is or our bondage is, at the end of the day, there are really just core issues that need to be worked on. And I hope that something I say will resonate with the listener, to where no matter what it is that they're going through, healing can come and peace can come once we are able to get to the core. And that's what God did for me, because only God really truly knows what makes us tick and how we think and why we function the way we do. So what happened for me was in Los Angeles one night, I was getting ready. I had already gone to a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, trying to find books on suicide, because I didn't want to commit suicide if it was going to send me to hell. And I needed peace about that. And I couldn't find anything. And the guy was of no help and just left me sitting there. And I just started crying. I was just really so desperate for help and relief. And so there was another night where I was getting ready to commit, or I was thinking about attempting suicide again. And my father called out of the blue, and we hadn't spoken for 4 years. And I believe that God really intervened that night. And whatever anger I had towards him or family or society or Christians or whatever it was, really left me, because at that moment I was so desperate for something. I was so thankful that my father called me, and it would really begin a journey of even repairing our relationship, because we had so many battles about this. It's not that my family didn't love me. He did not approve of it. And perhaps I can hit on that in a moment later in the interview. But what happened was as he and I started to repair our own relationship, and I started to get honest about my life and about the choices I was making and the people that I was hanging around with, it was the misery that caused me to leave the homosexual life. And I just decided to go on a path of celibacy for about a year, year and a half. And through some things that God was doing in my life, I had a hunger for God. I didn't want to be around Christians, but I took a chance and I went back to this church that was offering a Bible study. And for 2 years, I went to this Bible study and I stayed with it. And I was really hungering more and more for God. So it was a slow process of God slowly acclimating me back with the church, but also putting good Christians in my life who really had the heart of Christ, who didn't mistreat me. And regardless of where I was, they saw me as a human being. They didn't judge me. They still told me the truth about God's word, which I needed to hear, even though I wasn't there yet. But they still gave me a safe place to come into the church and to feed on the word of God. And it really started to bring about a lot of healing in my own life. And that really started to move me into this journey of God doing what he needed to do to start giving me the healing. And not only that, but to change how I saw him, change how I thought about myself, change what I had come to believe about so many lies that society feeds us. So it was layers and layers of stuff, even through therapy. I would even ask God to be part of my therapy when I would go in. And it was amazing that the therapist would ask me questions that were so deep and profound that I had never thought of, but I felt God used the therapist to help me to deal with and to face the issues that needed to be uncovered. So it was a process over a few years, but well worth it, because I did the work and I wasn't afraid to face the pain of what I was having to go through, because I knew it was better to go through it and feel the pain and get the healing to then have the kind of healthy life that I wanted and desired and peace, versus to never go and face the pain, and then you just live a life of where you're in this constant numbness and this state of constant despair and hopelessness. And I didn't want that for myself.
Well, it sounds like you really faced. I mean, I think your story is so remarkable. First of all, people don't talk about God. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know that. I know that. Unless you're on a faith and values channel, people don't talk about God, and they certainly don't talk about a hunger for God. And they certainly don't talk about their own struggles with their sexuality in God. You have, I think, mustered up tremendous courage and faith and commitment to sharing your process with other people in the hopes that anything you say or something you might say, even for one person, might touch their heart and bring them some kind of peace or some step closer to finding their own relationship with the divine and with God. And George, it's just a remarkable story. I mean, I was so very touched by everything that you've done and everything that you said. And it's so much bigger. It's so much bigger than homosexuality. It's bigger than everything, because in a sense, what you're talking about is the alienation. You know, there are many, many people out there struggling with pornography and drug addiction and alcoholism and domestic abuse. I mean, there's so much going on out there that you could probably drop that name into your conversation and just switch up what the problem is. Because you and I talked about this. We talked about the devil, as you know, he's also not a popular subject. We don't acknowledge that there is the dark side or the dark force, but we talked about that. And we talked about your view of seeing that what violates the good and what violates God and what violates God's word and God's law is ultimately going to lead to pain and suffering. So your telling of this is so profound. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, and nobody go anywhere, because this is a conversation. I don't care what you're struggling with, what any of us is struggling with, whether it's weight, whether it's drugs, whether it's money, whatever it is, this is something we need to hear. When we come back, let's talk about somebody's knocking, okay? Because let's talk about how seductive things can be and how you got so deep into the darkness. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And today my guest is George Carneal, who is an extraordinary writer and sharer of his life, storyteller, if you will. Just a remarkable journey that George has taken in his life. It's a journey that all of us can relate to. Anyone who has suffered the pain of loneliness, of hunger, to be out of a life that is somewhat dark and really depraved a bit. Anyone can relate to this. I don't care if you're shoving chocolates in your face at 4 o'clock in the morning and you can't get enough of it, or you're, you know, shooting heroin, or you happen to be suffering in a lifestyle as George was. It's a very powerful message. George, we talked at the pre-interview. You want to talk about seduction and the life, if you will, and how we get seduced by these glamorous and seemingly pleasurable and sensual experiences?
For me, in hindsight, I realized that when there is something inside of you that is hurting and broken, for me, it was shame and rejection. You look for something to fill that void. And so the allure of being in the gay life was, I'm with all these hot guys and can sleep around and do what I want and do the drugs and drinking. But I still wasn't, that void wasn't being filled. That hurt was still there. So then when I would work in, when moved out to Los Angeles and I'm around the rockers and in the music industry and doing the limousines and the award shows and just having gotten, it wasn't like I was any big deal. And I want to make that clear. I was just somebody who I was blessed to at least get a taste of that life and see it. But I'm glad that I did, because I saw with the numerous celebrities I met, a lot of them weren't happy. Some of them weren't even really nice people. And I knew that fame and money and power didn't bring happiness. And I was around a lot of wealthy people, and I saw how vile and unhappy and miserable they were. So I knew then, okay, well, money doesn't bring happiness. Fame doesn't. This celebrity life doesn't seem to bring any joy. The gay life wasn't bringing me any joy. And the drugs, the alcohol wasn't doing it. Pornography wasn't doing it. And I was trying to make all of these relationships work that just seemed to fail. I was at a loss for them. Well, what else is there? And it really sent me, I was spiraling downhill. And as I told you in the pre-interview, when I would sit in these bars and see elderly men getting drunk, because nobody wants anything to do with them because they're old, their looks have faded, because the gay community is very youth-oriented. It really broke my heart to watch these men, and I knew that if I stayed in that life as long, I was already in it 25 years, I was one day going to probably be one of those men, and I was determined, no, this is not going to be my life. And I was determined to rewrite how this was going to end. So it was a lot of things that really sent me on into a very deep introspection. And I want people to understand, I'm not a mindless robot. I really do think a lot. I'm always trying to understand, and I seek answers. And I, whether it was through Hinduism, but the reincarnation made me depressed because my life was miserable enough. The thought of coming back and doing this over and over and over again brought me no joy. So I was like, no, this is not working for me. So I'm going to move on. And, you know, and then in the New Age, that came up again. Along with that, you know, God is in everything and everyone, and you're God and all that stuff. Well, if I'm a God, why am I still miserable? And I, you know, if I am a God or if I am God, I should be at peace and have this blissful life. That wasn't working. So then I moved into the occult, and I thought maybe from the demonic side of things, I can find out this deep hidden knowledge that occultists often talk about. I wasn't going to worship Satan, but I definitely was going to use it to get what I could out of it if it could help me understand God better or find him. There was something settled in me, and I can't describe it, where I believed in the living God and the authority of Christ and what he did on the cross. For some reason, that was just settled within me in spite of all of the turmoil in my life. So I was a person who was open to other religions, but they brought me no peace and contentment either. And that's where it was almost at the point of despair, almost waving the white flag, to just saying, God, I surrender. You know, take control of my life. I need to get to you. I need peace. I have no joy, and I'm suicidal. I even went and had demons exorcised out of me, thinking the gay demons would leave. And, you know, I tried spiritual warfare prayers and generational curse prayers, which God does talk about. So this is all scriptural. Mm-hmm. It was just, bottom line is that I was so desperate for my sanity. And only people out there who are really at their wit's end because they have no peace in their life will perhaps understand where I'm coming from. Nothing matters anymore when you are at rock bottom. And I get particularly put out and hurt by people who make flippant comments about people who commit suicide as, oh, they were just chickens and they're cowards. But I want them to understand, to look at this from a very compassionate standpoint. Who in the morning wants to wake up and feel like crap? Who wants to make poor decisions and to be in bondage? Who wants to wake up depressed and suicidal? Who wants to not find any joy in life? And if they could look at it from that standpoint, I just didn't know how to get away from the pain. And it just seemed like suicide was the only way I was going to be able to get out of it, because I saw no hope. And it was when I just put everything aside, and what worked for me was I said, God, I surrender to you. I got into his word and I started reading it, and I turned my back on everything, because if it obviously wasn't working then, it's still not going to work now. And I really gave God a chance. I read the word, I completely rededicated my life and surrendered my life to Christ, and I did a 180 in terms of my life, and it was the best decision I ever made for myself, because when I did that, I can honestly tell you and the listeners, that insanity in my head and those depressing suicidal thoughts left, and I finally have my peace of mind. And nothing else I had been trying did that. So I knew then I was on the right path. And I give all glory and honor to God and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You talk with such passion about your surrender and your submission to God's word. It's very moving. And I think for anyone, look, not everyone believes in God. Not everyone has an experience of God, or certainly not everyone has an experience of Christ. But your story is so compelling, because whether it was epigenetics, you know, passed on from generation to generation that you had a connection with Christ, or whether it was your upbringing, being raised in a, you know, a Christian home, this was a very essential component for you to fulfill, to satisfy, to nourish in yourself. And what you had shared was, because I said to you, we talked about the science of homosexuality. We talked about the fact that all the science today says, well, homosexuality can be created in utero by the mother's hormones. It can be created as a result of physical, genetic trauma, that the brains of homosexual people are different than the brains of heterosexual people. And we talked a lot about that on the pre-interview. And what you said science has its place, but in your life, God has ordained that there are things that are appropriate and things that are less appropriate. And for you, obviously, in your mind, in your life, as much as this life was calling you and had seduced you, as you describe, you felt that you were tormented and that you had no joy and no peace. So you ultimately got to a point where before you killed yourself, you turned your life over to God. You prostrated yourself on the ground, metaphorically, and you said, you know, take my life and do with it what you will, Father. This is, I've hit bottom. I surrender myself to you. And in doing that, you started to talk about how slowly, you know, the burden lifted from you, the burden of your behavior. You talk about how you were celibate, and you've been celibate for a number of years. I shared with you the words of a song, and I find it funny that someone would write a song about this, because this is how true it is. The name of the song is Somebody's Knockin'. And the first stanza goes, "Somebody's knockin', should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil, would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans." And I think what that is saying is, who knew that our own destruction, the thing that can kind of tear our hearts and souls asunder, can be so beautiful, so alluring, so attractive? And I'd love to hear you comment about that, because let's face it, you were in a very sensualized, sexualized lifestyle. And part of that, as you said, had to do with beauty, and it had to do with what we visually see.
May I say, and I want the listeners to know, I have been on the path of celibacy for 10 years. So if people out there are struggling with just even relationships, I finally saw that it was much rather to be alone and to find peace and joy in my life and to have that peace than to be with someone who's constantly ripping your heart out.
Yes, I agree.
So I even changed my thought about that I'm okay if I'm alone. Jesus, and there are a lot of single people, but Jesus was celibate, and he was single for 33 years. There was nothing deficient about him. So there's nothing deficient about me, and I want other men and women to know that we are not less than because we are single for whatever reason. But I also want them to know, because I have been on this path of celibacy for 10 years, and I have been on this path with God for this long, believe me, if by this time I had not seen that it was working and I had found God to be a liar, I then would have moved to atheism, because believe me, when something doesn't work, I keep moving. But this was the best decision I made for myself, for Christ. So I just want people to know that no matter what they're going through, they may resent what I'm saying. They may not want to hear it at this time, but I will say this much. Try everything else, but if you find at the end of the day it still isn't working for you, all I would say is, why not just give God a chance and give your life to Christ and let him take control of your life, surrender to him, and give him the opportunity. If you're trying everything else and it's not working, hey, what have you got to lose? I gained my peace of mind, and hey, you can't beat that.
Absolutely. So, George, what is it like? Okay, so here you are, a tortured suicidal man. You turn your life over to God and you say, do with me what you will. I can't live like this anymore. What started to happen for you? What did it feel like? I mean, did it take some time? What was the process of undoing? I mean, you don't take 25 years, 30 years of living a pleasure-based hedonistic life and then just roll over to, oh, wow, I feel great. So tell us about that process.
Well, again, it was the misery. Now, mind you, I, on a conservative level, have probably slept with at least 200 men. It may be more like 300 plus. So, and plus with all the drugs and drinking and everything else I had done, it did not work. And I didn't need, after 25 years, I may have been a little bit slow to get it, but finally, I guess the light turned on in my little pea brain, and I realized this is not working. I'm done. And I was ready to walk away from it all because it brought me no joy. And so I was so hungry and open to whatever God was about to do in my life that I just stuck with him on the journey, even when it got tough. And I have to tell you, there are times where many of us, we do well for a brief period of something, but then we run back into what's comfortable because we're going through some emotional pain. And then you keep repeating the process. I praise God, I really do, that I got to wallow in that misery for 25 years, because when he started to grab a hold of me and move me forward, there was no running back to the old, because I had already settled that in my mind. I'm not doing it again, and it was costing my sanity, and I really mm-hmm. wanted to kill myself. Mm-hmm. So as we moved into this process, sadly, but I needed to learn this lesson, I was eventually put into a church where the pastor was more liberal than I thought, and he was moving into this gay is okay theology, this Christian liberal theology they give. And there was a part of me that became very excited because I thought, wow, oh, because he started an LGBT class, which I praise God that a Baptist church wanted to provide a class for those of us who were struggling with this. We could find others who were going through it and try to help each other. Through that, the course of this class, God was weighed on my heart one Sunday, this word deprogramming. And I thought, oh, he's deprogramming me the lies that I had believed about the conservative Christian theology growing up. And he's going to help me make peace with being gay. And then I got excited because I thought he's finally going to put a good, solid Christian man in my life, and I'm going to have someone to grow old with. And I got all excited. But as the weeks and months went on, I still wasn't getting any peace. And it dawned on me what God was doing was he was deprogramming me of the lies of the Christian liberal theology, because it wouldn't match up with God's word. They will pick and choose and selectively give you something, but you have to take everything in the full context of Scripture. And I had to stop listening to people and actually get into God's word and study it for myself. And it's when I did that, God started to reveal his true nature and who he really was. He's not this angry God who's out to just get people. And I started to see that he's like any parent. He loves us, but when a parent tells you to be in by 10 o'clock and you're not, you're grounded or you get your butt spanked. So God is no different than that. He's a loving parent who wants the best for you, and he warns us of things that will destroy our lives, our peace of mind. And so when I got that chip off my shoulder, and I realized that God really is my ally, and he loves me, and he cares about me, it just changed my whole journey. So having sat in that class, and I was more miserable and more depressed, I would sit in the car sometime and just bang on the steering wheel, and I would just cry out to God, and I was bawling, just sobbing with my parents or anybody who would listen, just so desperate for my peace of mind. But when I finally accepted the fact that God wasn't going to allow me to have peace with the lies of this Christian liberal theology, I turned my back on that as well. I left the church. And even when I told them where I stood on that, these loving, inclusive, caring, compassionate Christians, they turned on me and had nothing to do with me. So even then I realized they don't care about you personally. It's the agenda and the narrative. And it really caused for a lot more pain and hurt, because I really thought they did care. So I really realized at the end of the day, people are going to let you down. And my parents always drilled this into my head, but it, you know, again, it took time for this pea brain or the cement for it to penetrate the cement. I finally understood what my parents meant by people will always let you down, but God never will fail you. And I finally realized your only and best ally is God. And it was just through that journey that he slowly just had to undo a lot of layers about my rejection and how I saw myself. And also, he pointed out to me one night so clearly that I almost broke down and started crying. It was as if he said to me, you are where you are today because of all of the choices you made, because of your sin and your wickedness and rebellion. And I almost sat down and really started bawling because I was in so much pain. But this is how I knew God was working on me. As soon as I thought about it, he also helped me to know, but healing is coming. And for some reason, that overwhelming sense of dread and despair quickly left me, and I just had this peace come over me. And I knew then God was going to give me the peace, but I knew it was going to take time because I had just been damaged by so many things, and God just needed to work on me in a time frame in which I could deal with the revelations, because there was a lot that needed to be uncovered and worked on.
George, we're going to stop at this point because, believe it or not, we have another commercial break that we've shot over. So
I'm sorry about that.
We're going to come. No, don't be sorry at all. We're going to come back. And I think what we need to do is kind of clarify. This is such a dense, very thick subject. I think what you're saying is you were really excited. You went to a church that you felt was going to give you the answer to why it was okay to be a homosexual. And that would allow you to possibly go off into the sunset, as we all hope to do with some significant person who loves us.
Yes.
And you were excited about that. That was hope in your heart. You might get your wish fulfilled. And yet, as you're sitting there listening to the lessons you were studying at that church, you realized to yourself that the opposite was really true. That the word of God for you, and I'm saying for you because it wasn't true for some of the people who were there, was that this was not okay. And that caused you more suffering, more frustration. And you had to once again readjust, and you had to once again surrender and resubmit yourself on a spiritual level. So when we come back, and we're only going to have a little bit of time left when we return, but when we come back, let's talk about how you were able to accept. A lot of people are going to say, wow, that's really hard. How do you accept that you're never going to have a love? You're never going to have love. You're not going to share love with another person. So let's talk about that, because this is a big thing. This is a very courageous and huge commitment you have to your faith life. So don't go away, anybody. We're about to hear it straight from George, this really powerful message. So we will be right back.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
Today, I am talking with George Carniel, who is the author of an amazing book called From Queer to Christ. I'm kind of blown away by this interview. It's really amazing. I'm sure there are people there, those of you out there listening going, whoa, you know, this is a real act of courage and an act of, I think, hope to share experience with other human beings who find themselves in darkness or in suffering or in abject pain. And many of us experience hell on earth, whether it's addiction, whatever it is. There are so many things that we human beings get ourselves into that you could drop that word into George's testimony and it would work just as well. So George, before the break, we were talking about, okay, you've done this incredible thing. You have taken yourself from literally, you know, what you would call debauchery in the dark side, right? You were having, you know, you were living the, you know, the underworld life, okay? And you dragged yourself through that, up from that, got yourself back to church. You knew you had a hunger for God. You wanted God. And you also wanted to be loved and have a partner and not go off into the sunset alone. And you come to this church and you think, oh, wow, I'm so excited. They're going to tell me how I can live in harmony with both my God and my homosexuality, only to discover that the only option for you is to become celibate. And should you have a relationship, it would have to be a celibate relationship. So can you share with us, how is it that you have come to terms with this and how you have come to terms with the probability that you may not get that vision that you hoped for, which was to be deeply loved in a loving and committed relationship?
Let me start by saying the key to all of this. One of the things, a lot of people, they want to hear what they want to hear. And I was sincere with God when I went to him and asked him to help me. And I told God, if it is okay, give me peace about it. And I trust you'll give me a good Christian man in my life. But I said, if it is not okay under any circumstances, I'm still going to be committed and faithful to you. And I meant that prayer. So I first of all wanted God to know, whatever you say, so be it. I trust you. And so I got my answer. So when I went on the path of celibacy, I've made peace with it, because what I may not have someone in my life, and there are a lot of people out there who have someone in their life, but they're making them miserable. So for me, having been through all that misery, I've made peace with it. Sure, I still get an occasional insecurity about it, and I have my fears. I'm human. But for the most part, what God has done is he has filled my life in so many other areas. And I have a great church home. I have a lot of people who love me. They know my story. They're so supportive of me and my journey. Things are great with my family, and I can't describe, it's just the peace and the fulfillment and the peace of mind that makes you know, I'd rather have this and be celibate than to have someone and to be miserable and be in that old life. And again, I always go back to this. I was desperate for my peace of mind, but God gave that to me. But what happened was I had to give up what he declared. It's not compatible with his word. And I chose to listen to God. I had listened to man. I had listened to society and the gay rights activists and Hollywood and the media. And I've done everything I wanted to do. And I've lived and had all of the pleasures. And what did it bring me? Nothing. I was miserable and suicidal. I just turned my back on all of that. And people think, oh, it's probably a boring life. But there's nothing like being at peace with myself and peace at peace with God and having my peace of mind. And being in a church that I love and just being around my family and friends, and it's a simple life and I love it. And that's just the joy I have. And when I do worry about the future and growing old alone, what really helps me through it is this. All of this is temporary. I keep my mind focused on the eternal reward, and that's spending eternity with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I think about that and the joy, it makes whatever I have to go through here worth it. Because again, this is going to end.
Yes, we do know that, George, don't we?
Yeah, and that's the hope that I have, is my hope in Christ.
Well, I just want to share and say that I think your journey is, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, your journey would not be that unique. I think given the world we live in today, given the politicizing of faith and prayer and, you know, all of the things that you've been talking about, there has been such a embargo, if you will, on having discussions like this. I am so deeply grateful to you that you were willing to come on the show and share from your deepest heart and from your soul what your faith has meant to you and what it has been for your journey from darkness to suicide to joy and to redemption. For you, you would rather live a life that you feel is the right way to live than exchange that for some momentary pleasure. You feel that you're in alignment with God, that you're in alignment with your values, and you see that as a worthwhile journey and a worthwhile commitment. And I know that anyone listening to this show who has any kind of a struggle, whether it was similar or not similar to yours, is going to be as grateful as I am to have heard your words about this. And again, thank you. Keep talking, George, you know. keep sharing, you know, your faith and your commitment. And very happy, very grateful that you came on today. Tell people about your book, where they can find it. Tell them about your website, please, so if they want to reach you, they can.
Okay. My website is www.georgecarneal, CARNEAL.com. And there's a shop tab on there. It'll take you to Amazon. That's where you can find the book. There is a contact tab if you have any questions. If you do reach out and you want to discuss personal stuff, I'll try to get to you as soon as I can, and I promise you it's confidential. And I just want to say to the listeners out there, no matter what you're going through, know that you are loved by God. And I want you to know, no matter how bad you feel or you feel that you've done things that you can't even forgive yourself for, it's a lie from the enemy. God has never asked us to be perfect. Go before him, bring all of your bondage, your chains, all of the sin, whatever your baggage is, you go to him. He will help you. He loves you. And there is hope. And I want to make sure that that is very clear. There is hope. And I don't want any of you to sit out there and feel like there is no hope for you, because if God can do it for me, he can do it for you.
Wow. Well, that's a perfect way to end this interview. The book is From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. And you can find out lots of information. All you have to do is Google GEORGECARNEAL. And again, George, it was a pleasure. Listeners, do not fail to come back again next week. We have some of the most amazing, moving, and really uplifting individuals that come with courage and grace and share their stories. So be sure to come back.
And may I just thank you for having the courage to have this dialogue.
You're so welcome, George.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.